Let's follow up now on a story we covered last week about a scathing report on failures at the Department of Children and Families. Suzanne Bump, the Massachusetts state auditor, found that children under the care of DCF suffered at least 260 serious injuries in 2014 and 2015, and that reports of those injuries were not included in their DCF records. The auditor also found at least 19 instances of serious abuse or neglect that were not reported. Two, district attorneys. The Baker administration immediately pushed back, saying that the report did not account for the major reforms and additional funding the administration put into place at DCF beginning September 2015. And yesterday, Governor Charlie Baker sent a letter to DCF employees saying he was, quote, dismayed to see the auditor use what he called old data. He wrote, quote, to ignore nearly everything you have done for the past 2.5 years to improve the agency's ability to do its work strikes me as wrong. The governor went on to write, at a minimum, it would be fair to say that the DCF of 2017 and 2018 is nothing like the DCF of 2014-2015. The state auditor says she stands by her findings in the audit. So we wanted to hear the perspective of someone who is on the front lines, the social workers. And we're joined now by Peter McKinnon, president of SEIU Local 509, the Massachusetts Union for Human Service Workers and Educators. Peter McKinnon, welcome to you.
Great. Thanks. Thanks very much for having me.
Well, first of all, just give me what your initial response was to the state auditor's report on DCF.
Yeah, when I first saw the headline in the Globe about it and saw that the time frame of the review was 2014 to 2015, the first thing that struck me was that's old. That's before we really dug in to write new policies, to really institute reforms, to before the funding was there for hundreds of new social workers. It's unfair to look at that and say that that's the DCF of today. Sure, it was the DCF of the time, and I think I was maybe speaking louder than anybody about how the system was broken in 2014 and 2015. But to only paint that picture really struck me as really unfair.
Well, let's dig into the specifics a little bit and you know, help us get some perspective here again as someone who's been on the front lines. Mm-hmm. Because when we spoke with Massachusetts Auditor Suzanne Bump last week, I mean, she talked in detail about her ongoing frustration. And she says that DCF workers are still not regularly accessing mass health records about children in their care. Here's what she told us.
I can't understand for the life of me how they cannot appreciate that whether the information is 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months old, they need to be accessing this information so they have a complete picture of what's happening to the children in their care. How can they defend such willful ignorance?
Peter, in his letter to DCF employees, Governor Charlie Baker said, quote, I am very skeptical of the auditor's focus on claims data as a primary tool to spot child abuse. Who's right here?
In this case, the governor's right. You know, having been a social worker for nearly 20 years, having supervised investigations units, you can't rely on medical coding data to tell you anything other than the child has a particular diagnosis or was in the office for a visit. The information that you get about that really matters in assessing child safety is you get by picking up the phone, talking to the doctor, talking to the nurses, talking to the family, talking to the children. That's how you assess risk. Reading codes, medical codes, and that's the access that DCF has, billing codes, really, doesn't really tell you a very rich story about what's going on with that particular child.
So help me understand here, because I'm actually genuinely confused, because just this week, Suzanne Bump, she had a reply to the governor's letter, and she says DCF still does not proactively consult the mass health data to which they have access in order to supplement reports of physical injuries to children in their care. She said, we know the value of this information. It is how we identify 260 instances of injuries to children that DCF did not know about. So if the auditor's office can do it, why can't DCF do it?
Well, I can tell you this, that I don't have access to that database. Frontline social workers don't have access to mass health databases. The computer systems don't talk to one another. There are staff at the department, to my understanding, that have access to mass health data. I can tell you it is not the people on the front lines.
I see. So, but is that something then that we could and should fix?
Well, it's certainly a question, and I don't want to discount that the importance of looking at medical data. You know, don't get me wrong. But I will say this, if there was information that doctors had that suggested that a child had been abused or neglected, certainly raises the question, well, why didn't they report it as mandated reporters?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the system is set up, to make a phone call to the department to really look at what's going on. You shouldn't have to rely on a doctor or a nurse putting in medical codes, and then 2 months later having someone at DCF look at it and say, oh, 2 months ago someone came in with a bruise or a broken bone.
I see. Okay, so let me move on to another part of the auditor's report, which I know alarmed a lot of people. And this is where she highlighted that they had found 19 cases of significant abuse or neglect that they say were not reported to Massachusetts district attorneys, again, in 2014 and 2015.
There were, however, bottom line, 19 cases that never went to DAs. And we know that because we took these 19 cases and brought them to DAs and said, do you know anything about these? And they said no.
Well, on the other hand, Governor Baker, in his letter this week, says this is simply not true. The incidents from 2014 and 2015 that she alleges were left unreported were in fact referred to law enforcement, all of them. So again, what should the system be? Should these reports be going to DAs specifically, or is the system inside DCF say you should report it to other law enforcement instead?
Yeah, it depends. It depends on the case. And the law currently dictates that. Excuse me. Some cases are you are calling the police because there's a situation of immediate risk to the child where you need police intervention immediately. And that's when you're not going to bother calling the district attorney who doesn't have the ability to go out and immediately make sure that child's safe. The police have that ability. There are other cases where you learn about abuse or neglect that rose to a level of potential criminal involvement at some future point, you know, that maybe a child discloses while they're in foster care that 6 months ago they had been the subject of sexual abuse or serious physical abuse. At those times, because the immediate safety of the child is not in question because they're already in care, those are the cases you would contact the district attorney directly. To me, the more important thing is alerting law enforcement, because then alerting law enforcement or the DA, either way, what happens after is everybody starts talking about that case.
Mm-hmm.
Law enforcement contacts the DA, who coordinates with DCF, and vice versa. So how it gets into the criminal justice system is less important than as long as it does.
I see. Well, so to that point, Suzanne Bump also says that DCF still does not consider sexual abuse as a critical incident to be reported to the Office of the Child Advocate. Why is that?
The legislation that created the Office of the Child Advocate and the regulations and the policies that came after that, to the best of my recollection, when that office was created, dictates what a critical incident is.
So you're waiting for guidance from the Office of the Child Advocate.
Yeah, I mean, well, some of it is there, and some of it is really obvious. You know, rape of a child is something that is much more. Everything's serious, don't get me wrong, but rape would be a criminal incident, and sexual abuse that happened, you know, 2 years ago as part of the, you know, that came out in disclosure and therapy, well, certainly serious and needs to be addressed, isn't critical in the sense that the immediate safety of the child isn't what is that question.
I'm sorry, Peter, go ahead.
No, and I was just going to say a lot of those definitions are dictated by legislation that is mandated down both to the Office of the Child Advocate and DCF.
So, Peter, we've just got a minute to go here, and I want to acknowledge again that in September 2015, the Baker administration did add an extra $100 million to DCF funding, more than 300 additional social workers. So I am curious to know if we look at data coming from DCF from 2015, 2016, and 2017, what we might see. Okay, we'll get there eventually as a state.
Right.
But I guess my question is, in the last couple seconds that we have, I mean— overall, is DCF doing better now than it was before? And where do we need to go from here?
Sure. The agency is in a better place now than it was in 2014 and 15. And that's what was so frustrating about the report. If you only look at it in that vacuum, you're not going to see really what's going on. If you're truly interested in fixing the agency, you need to look at the before and the after. And unfortunately, it feels like this is politicizing children and child safety. And that's really disheartening and disillusioning to those of us who are on the front lines who do this every day. I hope the agency's better. I think the agency's on the right track. Is it fixed? No, but it's going to take time. but we're on the right track.
Well, Peter McKinnon is president of SEIU Local 509, the Massachusetts Union for Human Service Workers and Educators. Peter, thank you so very much.
Sure. Glad to be here. Thanks.
Back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.